Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. Iman is here. Hello, Iman.
Hello.
Talking about this, I'm doing swell. Talking about this blog you and Asad are doing.
Yes, Pros and Claws. Find that on Substack, yes. Guys. Find it for free. It's Pro, that's P-R-O-S-E, and Claws, C-L-A-W-S. Got a little pun in there. And we talk about Raptor stuff. I mean, Asad was watching Summer League games and giving people grades on there. He also has this entire piece out on McDaniels, who, of course, has just joined the team and talking about, to me, like the way that it's broken down, I think is really great. If I can just like pump that up really quickly.
Please do.
Just because it's broken down by like the good things that he brings, the meh things, and the not so great things. And so you get to see what his advantage is in bringing another long wing to this Raptors team that maybe has too many of those guys already. But he looks to be a great addition. So that's really great. I also just put out a piece there on Damian Lillard, just sort of breaking down the trade scenarios there and what Portland should be getting out of it. And I think it ties into the Raptors because we maybe have a guy who is, you know, the face of this franchise who might be on the move as well. And there's a lot of talk about what to get out of a trade when you're making a trade for your best player.
Yeah. Good stuff. I haven't read too many of the pieces yet, but I have subscribed and I'm going to check them out. And then I saw that you had wrote about Damian Lillard. I'm like, oh, I had no idea actually that you were part of it. So very cool. Two talented people talking basketball. Man, you can't get enough
appreciate
of that.
It.
That's for sure.
Check it out for free, guys.
Yeah. So to quote actually a tweet of yours, no offense to the Raptors, but what the hell are you doing? You woke up and you said that. What prompted that? Iman, tell me.
Thinking about this pod for today. I'm like, okay, gotta talk about the Raptors.
Yeah.
What are the Raptors even doing?
Yeah. That's kind of it. ESPN, they came up with their power rankings and the Raptors are 25th. Now, I understand that, too, because there's like we don't know what the final roster is going to be like. I mean, I just look at I have all the names here, all the people that are on the team. And usually, and I'm talking about the Raptors, I'm aware of this, but usually with a roster, you have, you know, your typical rotation guys. You have some guys that might play if there's injuries. And then there's their back end guys that are usually not going to be playing too much. They're your two ways. They're up and down, yada, yada, yada. But the Raptors currently, and I'm aware that they're projected to be a step back of what they were last season, but we'll see what happens. But they have a lot of guys that should play NBA minutes. I'll put it that way, which is odd. We're like, and I don't think they're going to go 13 deep, but just looking at the names, like you could make a case for them to go 13 deep. Is it a good idea? No, you're probably going to go with your seven or eight guys, but that does lend you to think that they're not done with their transactions.
I completely agree because despite the fact that they can go 13 deep, they still lack some really key things that any team is going to need. Number one, pull-up shooting. Number two, pull-up shooting. Number three, pull-up shooting. Did I mention pull-up shooting? They're really going to, and just three-point shooting in general, you know, catch and shoot threes as well. They just need more guards. They have a ton of long wings. They've got a ton of forwards. It's just more guard play is what this team needs. I think bringing in Dennis Schroeder, cool. There was obviously the talk about Tyler Hero, not as enthused. But I understand why that was, you know, a topic of conversation this summer because what the Raptors need, as I just mentioned, is pull-up shooting. They need more guard play. Yeah. And, you know, Tyler Hero, who's a shooting guard, he doesn't bring you, you know, he brings some elements of guard play with what the Raptors need, but he doesn't bring everything. And that's why I wasn't enthused with the idea of bringing him in, because I think what the Raptors are going to be doing is a lot of things by committee. And as we saw last year, that didn't really work when you have a bunch of guys doing things by committee. We saw that with the center rotation, right? Like, think about how different this team looked when they had an actual center versus when they needed all of their big long wings to try to take away the middle and also rotate out to the corner three. They were giving up a ton of corner threes. And they built that team with the idea that this is what these guys can do. And it's true, it's what they can do. It's just really hard to play that aggressive style of defense for 40 minutes a night, which is what some of these guys were averaging over the course of an 82 game season. Sure. And so it's like, if you couldn't do it by committee, even though the philosophy and what you guys were brought in to do was to do exactly that, how are you guys going to do the point guard thing by committee? Like, nobody's a real true point guard. So it's like, it's like taking the center thing and like flipping it on its head in a way that doesn't make sense and makes me nervous.
And what's funny also is that the Raptors do have three point guards on their roster. Four, if you want to include Scotty Barnes, which I'm sure he would too. The Raptors put some light on that fire. Is he? That's my question. We're going to get into that. But I mean, their post about him being a big guard that they sent out yesterday, subliminal messaging, I don't know. But we're going to get to that in a second. Actually, no, we'll start with Scotty Barnes. Okay. So the pros and cons of Scotty Barnes being your starting point guard. There's ways to look at it on both ends. Obviously, I think it's fair to say the Raptors don't have the complementary pieces necessarily to build around a point guard of Scotty Barnes. But again, that could very well change. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think that the ideal starting lineup for Masai and Bobby going into next season would probably be like Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent Jr., Grady Dick, OG Anunoby, and Jakob Poeltl. I could see them like thinking that that's what they want. Now, Grady Dick being a starter, probably not, but it's like that element of shooting. Maybe it's Otto Porter Jr. Who the hell knows? But they want, when you have Scotty Barnes as your point guard, you do want three reliable shooters around him, along with a center. So you have the center, OG, Gary Trent, moving on. But in the end, Scotty Barnes, with his current skill set, as we saw last season, he did play some point guard, not a lot, but he did in flashes, and he was often playing with, I mean, some of the guys off the bench, and the results were up and down. But from your standpoint, let's start with the pros. We'll be positive. It's a Friday. The pros of Scotty Barnes at point guard versus someone like Fred VanVleet.
I think versus someone like Fred VanVleet, it's difficult because, I mean, one is, I guess, size, right? Like, what is a pro? You have playmaking with size is great, but I sort of called it point guard by committee, and I didn't want to take anything away from Scotty Barnes because I think he still will be the person with the ball. He will be the person bringing it up. He will be your nominal point guard. But to me, the difference in saying it's by committee is we saw what Scotty does so well, right? Like, he's so great in the short role. He's so great just in, like, he's such a big and strong presence that, like, you don't want to take away from the things that Scotty also excels at. He's never going to be, you know, comparing him to Fred. We'll save that for cons. I was going to mention something. But, like, in terms of the pros, I think Scotty wants to play this role. And you're letting him see it. The third year is the big year for all of these guys, right? Like, that's where you watch Pascal go from being a bench player to being a starter, right? He wasn't supposed to be your starter in that third year. It was going to be between him and OG and pick whoever plays best that night. And he obviously, OG was dealing with other things that were happening that season as well, but Pascal also took that spot and absolutely ran with it. And so year three is really the year to be focusing in on a lot of these guys. And I think with Scotty, you got the size, which has been great. It's his role. It's what he wants to do. And so you're saying, okay, let's see it. You want to be this guy. If we believe you to be this star, if we believe you to be the superstar, here's your chance to do it. And I think hopefully with the ball in Scotty's hands, we're going to get a more aggressive Scotty Barnes, because I think sometimes he kind of got lost in the offense a little bit. And I think having a more aggressive Scotty Barnes just makes this Raptors team better. It changes the look of this team entirely. So another point.
And there's, I mean, maybe it's unfair to compare him to Fred necessarily because they're two very different players. But the idea was that there are a few things that he does offer versus Fred. Now, Fred, like, he's going to go and do great things in Houston. I really have a doubt about that. But for Scotty, he is getting what he's looking for. Right, this is what he wants. And when we saw him take over fourth quarters, largely it was him with the ball in his hands and he was causing havoc. Now, is he able to do that, sustain that over the course of a game is the question. Can he, you know, night in, night out, set the pace of the game and control the pace. Like, he's going to be challenged quite a bit with his dribble. I think that's fair to say. I mean, overall, like, I think with a player like him, and I'm sure he's working on this right now, but the Alex Caruso's, the Pat Beverley's, these are the guys that are going to be probably guarding him. They're going to be picking him up full court, and he's going to have to navigate that. And he's already mentioned that some of those kinds of players are the ones that give him trouble because he's not always able to see them in post-ups where they're coming from, right? Just from his sight. And those are going to be the things that he's going to have to deal with, you know, game by game. But
I'll get into his dribble.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's going to be the MO. And then he's going to have to, you know, in a pick and roll situation, if he is given those kinds of reps, I don't know if he will be, but those 18-foot jump shots that he was hitting towards the end of the season, I saw, like, I had did a video on this. He shot 10% better in the last 17 games via the mid-range. So can he make those shots? Can he force teams to go over on screen so we can continue to get downhill and penetrate the paint? And it's going to be his challenge. Now, he loves being able to find, you know, his cutters, and I don't doubt he's going to be able to continue to do that, but the ball handling is going to be a big challenge for him, I think.
And they're going to go under on screens, right? Like, that's the sort of issue with having, like, in terms of getting into the cons, one of the biggest ones there is the Raptors finally have a big man who can roll. They finally have a roller, and now they don't really have the ball handler, unless you, Malachi Flynn takes another leap, and we can talk about Malachi in a bit, I guess, but for Scotty, they're going to go under screens, right? And and how do you navigate, like, I like that you brought up the dribble, because his handle is going to be pertinent to trying to navigate through that, because you're going to have no space to operate under. Can you still find something? And that's where his passing is going to become obviously so incredibly important, but he's also, like, gonna need to have a three. Like, that's just the next step. If you want to be a lead ball handler in this league, if you want to be a point guard, not, you know, a Bam Adebayo who can still be the hub of the offense. So much of Miami's offense runs through Bam Adebayo. I think that that could be so great for a guy like Scottie Barnes. And I think the Raptors are going to run a ton of dribble handoff next year too. I think we're going to see some of the things that Miami does just in terms of the creativity of getting their guys looks. Can you be, you know, the Draymond Green in certain situations? And it's like, maybe, okay, a little bit different, but you need to be the hub of the offense, but you need to be able to take that outside shot. If you want to be the main ball handler, he's going to need a 3-point shot. Just in terms of long-term, not just with this season, because if this season is really about Scottie Barnes' growth and about his trajectory and finding things, if your role is point guard, your role includes, it is an important part, is that outside shooting, that pull-up shooting, number one, but also just having a three. Just, like, being able to take a three is so important as a guard.
I wonder if he's going to be as disciplined as we are looking for him to be with the ball. I mean, his passes are flashy. They turn heads and they make you go, wow, look at this, what this guy's doing at his height. But I mean, Fred had mentioned this too, towards the end of the season, that what he liked about Scotty's growth throughout the season was that he was making smarter passes. He wasn't making, wasn't as risky, and he was being smarter with the ball. He was taking care of it. Now, that was part of the Raptors' MO. Limit turnovers, force turnovers. We know the deal. So maybe that's a bit different going into next season. I'm very curious what we see from Darko, what kind of system we see. We all know the spacing limitations that the Raptors present. However, I do wonder what an offense that has a bit more pace to it, that has more touch screens, that has more slips, more cuts, that are better timed, and if they're optimizing the space on each part of the court, which is, these are the things that we're kind of getting from what Darko is going to be bringing forward with the previous experience he's had in Phoenix and also with the Grizzlies. I wonder what that looks, because we haven't seen that, right? We know the spacing limitations. Yes, Fred shot 35% from three last season. It was a down year. Actually, funny enough, Dennis Schroeder and Fred shot the same percentage on catch and shoot threes last season.
I think the difference in that, though, is so much, and Fred had a bad year. And I think when we're talking about sort of replicate or what the Raptors need, they don't need Fred from last year, they need Fred from 2 years ago, right? Like, if you brought Fred back, we would be having this conversation about not, like, Fred replicating last year, but getting closer to the year before, because that's the type of guard that the Raptors truly need. But beyond that, even Fred last year, the difference between him and Dennis Schroeder, despite the fact that they shot the same on catch and shoots, is defenses are scared of Fred in a way that they're not scared of Dennis Schroeder. I mean, you still want to get a guy out there, I guess, but he doesn't, he's not the threat that a Fred VanVleet is, because mm-hmm. Fred VanVleet has been a career 40% shooter on close to 10 attempts a game, right? So it's so much more the way that defenses guard you than like just the percentage that you yeah. make, because that's what spacing truly is. And I think that like when we come back to Scottie Barnes, it's got to be aggression. He's got to be able to take those trust, like what, regardless, like Ben Simmons, not to compare them as players, but like Ben Simmons completely fell off a cliff when he just refused to shoot outside of 5 feet. When you just do that, you absolutely just like hamstring your mm-hmm. team. There's nothing that they can do. He needed to be able to take those shots, regardless of if they were going in or not, when you want to be the lead ball handler for yeah. your team. It's just an important part. And I think the biggest difference between a Scottie and a Ben Simmons is I trust Scottie's confidence. I trust that Scottie's going to be able to do that. I trust his aggression. And we see it when Scottie's aggressive, when Scottie's looking for his shot, it's such a big difference to what this Raptors yeah. offense does. But I think your point about passing as well, it's not about making the flashy pass, but it's just not about getting the assist. It's about making the right play. And I think yeah. that's something that comes with growth. I think that's also something that comes with more reps, right? Like if you know you're carrying the ball every single time, if you know this offense depends on your looks, obviously you're going to be hopefully making the right reads there. So I sort of trust Scottie to be able to do that with the more reps that he has. But one thing that I do sort of worry about is the paint touches. I have not gone back and looked at it, but I don't recall at least watching it. I know this was a criticism that I had, was how few paint touches the Raptors had when it wasn't Fred VanVleet who yeah. was on ball. Yeah. Fred yeah. VanVleet did such a good job of getting inside and kicking mm-hmm. it out to guys. I know we all sort of belabor the fact that Fred VanVleet struggled finishing. I mean, anyone who is 6 feet or under 6 feet is going to struggle doing that in the NBA, but just getting inside is so important to getting your team any sort of looks. And that's what this team is going to need. I guess we'll talk a little bit about Dennis Schroeder because he's sort of your guy to be able to do that. But with Scottie, it's just that handle needs to get better and the shooting needs to get better. And if those two things improve, then like it'd be interesting to really watch this team. I think this team could be not as bad as everyone thinks if Scottie can make the jumps in those two categories.
Yeah, definitely. And what's encouraging about perhaps a Scottie Barnes being the driver in those situations and getting those paint touches is that he is willing to post up. He can just always bully ball, right? He always has that option to just back players down. And
you can do that. If you can Giannis this, let's get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, for sure though. But and if he has like smaller players on him, like now he's incorporating that into his game and he's getting into the paint. Now his vision passing is able to be shown off a little bit. But
not to hijack this, but like yeah. that's sort of the benefit of looking at this weirdly built team is you're like, one of you guys is going to have a mismatch. OG, you got to punish yours. Pascal, you got to punish it when it's you. And Scottie, you've got to punish it when it's you. One of those three at any yeah. given time is going to have a smaller guy on them. And the Raptors are going to have to play a lot of bully bar next year, even if it's ugly to watch sometimes. Yeah, sure. That's what they're going to have to do, because that's you play basketball to exploit your mismatches, and that's the yeah. mismatch that the Raptors are going to have.
100%. And I do think that for him, he might get into a situations where he's overpassing. Like sometimes they're going to yeah. need him to get aggressive, and if anything, his mentality could be, let's work or look for mine, let's see how they guard me, and then yeah. we start passing after I'm able to get to the paint. I'm causing havoc for the other team. I'm getting a few buckets. I'm causing fouls. And now I'm able to show off my passing ability. And I do think that with Darko, this is my hope, right? Like a man can dream, is that they're able to optimize the spacing on the court and they have smarter cutting. Like if they have Chris Boucher's all across the court who are just like timing their cuts so well, they're slipping to the basket, they're finishing around the rim. There's something there. You're getting those deep seals. Like they have a lot of tall players, obviously, right? Yeah. Are they able to implement a system that complements Scottie's passing ability along with, you know, this low touch time? And there could be something there, right? It's easy for us to sit here and say that they have no shooting, but they didn't have any shooting last season. And they still almost made a play-in spot. And their offense was terrible. Like it was absolutely awful. And they have Jakob Poeltl. They were seventh in defense once they got him. If you get a bit more out of your offense, which there's reason to believe Darko can do that, who knows? It's not impossible. Maybe not likely, but it's not impossible. Maybe we're reaching. Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
I don't. Yeah. What are the Raptors doing? Go back to my tweet again.
Dennis Schroeder or Gary Trent Jr. as a starter?
Mm.
What are the positives of both?
Yeah. Number one positive with Gary Trent Jr. is continuity, right? Mm. Like, I think that that's an important part of this. But then the most obvious one is going to be shooting. He is still a better shooter than Dennis Schroeder. Mm-hmm. So I think continuity and I think shooting are going to be the two biggest ones. Also, like, I was looking at Gary Trent Jr.'s numbers when he was with Pascal and when he's not playing alongside Pascal.
Mm.
Pretty stark.
Yeah.
It's a pretty stark difference. But no, to me, it's just like you're going to need the shooting with the starting lineup. I think having Gary Trent Jr. makes the most sense. I think having Dennis Schroeder come off the bench, because you're, again, going to need a point guard on your bench. You're going to need someone who can run offense with your bench. And also, like, you get a change of pace with the bench as well, right? Like, that's always a great addition when teams have that sort of change of pace when you have a bench player. Mm. And Gary Trent Jr. doesn't really provide that because he's not going to be the lead guard. You know, he's not going to bring the ball up and do any of that stuff. He's a great complementary player with the starters, I think, as the fifth starter there. But with the bench, you have someone who can, we mentioned it, get downhill. You need paint touches, you need rim pressure, you need someone to be able to do that. And so to get a guard who great rim pressure, can attack the basket, that changes the entire speed of the game. That gives you a different look than when you're playing bully ball and watching OG and you know, post up or whatever it is, go and you change the pace entirely with a Dennis Schroeder. I think is a great look for the Raptors. I'm actually, like, you know, you mentioned it, the Raptors have like 13 playable guys. I'm like more excited about the bench. And I'm like, oh, sure. The starters, even though I love all of the names on the starters, I love all of them. I'm just like, you need a traditional guard, you need pull-up shooting, and that's something that they don't have. But hey, maybe they can do it by committee. Maybe Gary Trent Jr. looks a little bit more like two seasons ago as opposed to last season. There's just different ways to do it. But I think the shooting capabilities of Gary Trent Jr. makes it so that he makes more sense with the starters. I also like his fit alongside those guys a lot better. We saw him screen for Pascal last year as well. I guess we saw Dennis Schroeder screen for LeBron too last year. So like
there is some of that
that you're going to get, because you need that, right? Like, you need to replace Fred VanVleet in a lot of ways, and one of those is going to be screening. That's something that, like, Scotty's got to be able to do. It's just tough to have someone who doesn't shoot. Pascal, Scotty, one of you guys need to be able to really shoot the ball. But yeah, we're gonna see a lot of inverted pick and rolls, and we saw the Raptors do that with Gary Trent Jr. last year, and so I can see them continue to do that there. But like, I don't know, shooting is what this comes down to, and I think continuity is also important. So I'm rolling with Gary there.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
See both sides of it. With Gary, though, everything you mentioned, absolutely. There's a movement shooting ability to him, which also just helps create decoys, get teams in rotation. It's never a bad thing to have someone like that. We're not really used to it, but it is a good thing. Hopefully we see some of that from Grady Dick going forward. And Gary as well. I mean, his defense, just having some screen navigation with a bit more size is never a bad thing. And you trust his three-point shooting. So the Raptors, I would imagine, want to get in transition. You have someone who can just fill lanes, right? Who can stretch out the defense. And that's definitely needed, right? You can't always have everyone, you know, clogging the paint. It would be nice to have someone not doing that. But the Dennis Schroeder thing, like, I keep on going back to this, and people have given me some flack for it, and I understand, right? You're thinking that he should be the backup point guard. That's what he has been in previous seasons, yada, yada, yada. But when he has spoken, Dennis Schroeder, he has mentioned during his media availability, he has said himself that, you know, he had mistakenly said that, you know, a chance to be a starting point guard with Darko, and someone corrected him. It was Vivek, actually. He said, I was like, oh, you're going to be a starting point guard? He's like, oh, no, I mean, whatever my role is, yada, yada, yada. But then when he was talking to Akil Augustine, he had said that Darko said his role would be similar to the one he has with the German national team from a leadership perspective and also on-court perspective. He put those together, and I'm like, huh, he came here. He knows Darko. He knows how he wants to play. And then you think of the on-court product, and maybe they don't want to give Scottie Barnes the full reins as a point guard, right? And as you mentioned, it's useful to tap into the other parts of Scottie's game. Like, I want to see him posting up. I want to see him running DHOs as a screener, and I want to see him getting downhill. And maybe you can tap into more of that if he isn't always on ball. You're kind of going back and forth a little bit. Having a secondary point guard is useful, right? And he's 6'3", Dennis Schroeder. That's not... He's not 6 foot, right? So he can play some twos, and especially with the size the Raptors have, there could be something there that could help them have a bit more balance with their roster overall. And we know that they don't have really many shooting guards, really just one, kind of Gary Trent Jr. And I guess OG Anunoby, if we're talking the situation, maybe it could be OG sometimes. Yeah. It could be Dennis Schroeder too. And his 3-point shooting. Yeah, I mean, I'd mentioned that he shot the same percentage as Fred, you know, last season from catch and shoot perspective. Granted, Fred was at 4.1 attempts per game. Dennis was at 2.8. So there is a difference. I don't know. Playing with Darko, OKC, his time there, he shot the corner three really well. Perhaps there's something. You got Malachi Flynn, you got Jeff Doughton Jr. And you got Scottie Barnes.
That's true. That's true. You can just sort of stagger them so that, which is, you know, theoretically what I wanted to see the Raptors do last year. It's just the problem was Scottie running the show, I think, works better with the starters. I was looking through the numbers. I mean, cleaning the glass, I was on there. There were 129 possessions with what the Zoom starting lineup would be. And the numbers there are pretty bad. So I feel like that's what is going to be talked a lot about. And that would be Scottie Barnes at the one. Gary Trent Jr., OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, and Jakob Poeltl. The numbers there were really bad. It was only 129 possessions. But then you swap out Jakob Poeltl for Christian Koloko, and those numbers were beautiful. And it was 140 possessions.
Why?
Which is all to say, small sample size, let's all throw it out the window. Going through the numbers and really digging in, because I'm like, you know, Jakob Poeltl is not a worse player than Christian Koloko. There's no reason for this to fall off the cliff. It was just 3-point shooting variance, which is what happens when you have entirely small sample sizes like this. Like, what is that? 129 possessions, 5 quarters of basketball that we're basing this off of.
Sure.
It was entirely just three-point shooting variance. And so I'm not super down on the idea of what the starting lineup could look like with Jakob Poeltl in there, just because
he's good.
But I hear what you're saying with Schroeder as well. But it's just so funny to look through the numbers, because I was like, ooh, that starting lineup is bad. Maybe Schroeder should start. And then I like saw that with Koloko was actually a brilliant lineup. And I'm like, okay, 129 to 140 possessions, not enough.
And Dennis is going to get to the three throw line too. That'll be useful. But then
another drawback in terms of like that we didn't mention with the starting point guard. You need a guy who can get to the free throw line.
Yeah. And then
but I think a lot of this falls on Pascal Siakam as well. Like I think that like you're going to have
is he
going to
be there? Guys. Go on. Yeah. Sorry. We'll get to
that. Oh yeah, let's get to that. Do you think Pascal Siakam is going to be here?
I don't think so.
I don't feel good saying it. I'll take the other stance on that. Okay. I'm going to say he'll stay.
So
tell me why he's not going to be here. I'll be he stays and you be he won't stays. What's your arguments?
Yeah. Argument is that it seems the Raptors want him traded. They want to, and I don't think they're really willing to give him the Supermax if he is indeed, you know, makes himself eligible next season. If he reaches All-NBA, he becomes Supermax eligible. And I don't know if the Raptors want to go down that route with him necessarily. And also, it seems like they've already kind of tried to trade him, but it's been Pascal. We're just going off reports. I don't know. But it seems like he's the one that has said that, no, I'm not going to go to this team. I'm not going to re-sign with this team. And via Chris Haynes, he had said that there's a very small amount of teams that he has said he's willing to re-sign with, to do an extension with. And in the end, I think the Toronto Raptors front office, I mean, they're very good. They've had a bit of a downtime here, but they get what they want usually. when they want to do something, they usually get it.
You guys didn't want a point guard? You guys couldn't get one?
Yeah, well, I think Darko wanted Dennis Schroeder. I think he wanted him.
Yeah, that's true. I think the Raptors do want to see Scottie Barnes in that role. And I think it's important for the Raptors to see Scottie Barnes in that role. I think this season is a lot about Scottie. And if Scottie takes that jump and takes that third year leap that we've seen Pascal take, that we've seen other stars around the league take, then you're going to want additional star talent around him. I don't really buy the idea that Pascal and Scottie don't work well together. The numbers disprove that.
Yeah.
The numbers disprove that. And I think you want someone who can create their own shot. You want someone who does all of the things that Pascal Siakam does. Like, you're going to want that. So if Scottie takes that next leap, why not pair them together? Why not have two all-star, all-NBA caliber guys together? And if Scottie doesn't take that leap, I don't know that I'm really ready to trade Pascal Siakam and see what this team holds. You know, like, so to me, it's just like, there's more than one reason to keep Pascal. And I think Scottie will be fine. But beyond that, I also think that, like, the Raptors just lost a ton of assets. I know everyone's been talking about from the championship year, and I sort of disregard the Marcus Soles and the Serge Ibaka's because they weren't going to keep them. They were aging. Didn't make sense. Kyle Lowry, why did I say his name like that? You do right by Kyle Lowry. And then with Fred VanVleet, that's the one sort of quote-unquote asset that they lost for nothing, and it really, really hurt. Sure. I don't think they do that with Pascal, but I also – so, like, they've got to do something. But I also think that they need to get, and, like, it's weird talking about players in this way, but, like, the most bang for their buck, right? And I think that means signing him. I don't know if he'll sign an extension, but you sort of keep that asset and you maybe move them down the line. I don't know if you move them this year. And that's why I've just been stuck on, what is this Raptors team doing? Because if this offense looks as clunky as we're all talking about, because we're discussing this and we're discussing options, it's not the prettiest unless everyone across the board takes a step up shooting. And let me say, 2021, everyone was a much better shooter than 2022 across the board. Everyone on this roster, except for OG Anunoby, who stayed the same, was a better shooter in 2021. So if they make that sort of jump again, maybe they're fine. Maybe they look a lot better than they did last year. But if they don't, you're wasting another year of Pascal Siakam in his prime. And that doesn't make much sense to me. So, like, that's where I'm sort of stuck on, like, it doesn't make sense to trade him right now because you're not going to get as much for him. But also, not trading him is wasting him, which makes it more likely he leaves. So they're in such a weird spot. But I have to believe they try and keep those guys and try to flip them down the line. So it looks like a mess. It looks like a mess. I'm really trying to understand this Raptors team. I understood it when it was keeping Fred VanVleet. I don't understand it right now when you don't really have much of a direction. I think a lot of it comes down to, how good do Grady Dick and Scottie Barnes look? Is this a team ready to play and win right now? Because then you keep your best player. And if not, maybe you just go younger and you just trade it all away.
And the nice sample size that we're talking about of Pascal and Scottie Barnes being a duo, and they can definitely play off each other, but also there wasn't Jakob Poeltl at center. It was like Precious Achiuwa. It was their little funky lineups they were doing. And Precious was, I hope he can kind of regain that form from three because they could really use it. But it's stuff like that you're just like, how does this work? And also it seems like Masai really likes OG Anunoby. Right?
Yeah.
He really likes OG Anunoby, and OG maybe has not come out and said it, but it seems to me that he wants a larger role. And then you got Mikal Bridges out here saying that, hey, OG.
If he's not saying it, someone is, because those reports keep getting dropped.
Seriously, do you hear what Mikal Bridges said about OG?
No, what'd he say?
He said that they were talking about what interview or where was he? I can't remember. Apologies to that brand, but he had said that. In Phoenix, he got to the point where he kind of surpassed his role and that he was ready for more. And that essentially he just said, OG Anunoby, he's like, I think the same kind of thing for him. If you put him in a position to be successful, you give him the pick and roll reps, he's going to be successful just like I was. And
now's your time, OG.
I mean, kind of like but I think that's what we're talking about. It's like, if you have Pascal Siakam, who is an all NBA player, who's a high usage player, who's like 24%, something like that. You're going to use that because you want to win games and he helps you win games, right? But that also is going to take touches away from OG Anunoby. And then you look at OG season last year, he did have a month when Pascal was gone where he averaged 21 points, 48% from the field, only 34% from three during that time. That means he was hitting a lot of twos. And that happened, right? That was last season. So if we're talking, they got to make a decision between those two, and they feel like OG can either be on the Scotty Barnes rebuild or retool side, or playing alongside them with their win now mentality. And they want to keep OG because he's probably one of the best at his position. Trading Pascal Siakam makes everything make more sense. But I also don't like the idea of them just trading Pascal Siakam, you know? It feels dirty.
I think the market is really the true determiner of this. But you're going to need everyone. I think you really need to see what this team looks like, because we're talking, but Scotty Barnes needs to take that leap. Precious Achiuwa needs to, we need to figure something out with Precious Achiuwa. He's also going to be coming up on another contract. All of these guys need to sort of show you what it is. And I don't have strong belief that they can do anything without a point guard, because I think those are really important in basketball. But defensively, they'll be fine. We haven't really touched on it. We've been focusing so much on the offense because that's where a lot of the drawbacks are going to be. But defensively, they should be really great. The problem is, you know, when you're getting a bunch of stops, can you convert them in transition when you don't have a lot of shooting? That's going to be another issue.
Look at that play-in game. Case in point, that play-in game. I mean, free throws, but...
I mean, the play-in game really came down to one possession and there were 18 missed free throws. The play-in game is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but I think it, you know, benefited the Raptors. You get Grady Dick as opposed to, I don't know, getting stomped by the Milwaukee Bucks. Fine, dandy. I don't think they would have beaten the Milwaukee Bucks the Miami Heat did. So, it's fine. It's whatever.
So if Pascal Siakam comes back next season and he is a reliable catch and shoot 3-point threat, how much does that change?
I think it changes a whole lot. Beyond that, I think being a reliable pull-up threat, I'm putting him in, I will sign the Supermax myself. If you have a reliable pull-up three, you can... I mean, Bell and Rogers charge us a lot anyway. Take it out of my phone bill.
my internet bill.
It's just, I think that like catch and shoot threes is going to be really important. I think you need, because we talked about it, you know, OG sort of taking that next leap. And I said, it's yours. It's kind of unfair for me to put on OG Anunoby, because in a lot of these scenarios, he's going to be camped out. Because he's going to be used for spacing, and that's what he was doing last year. And it's like, if you have other guys who can do that for you, if the Raptors can really work in a by committee thing, then that like changes the entire look of this team. I think you're going to need pull-up shooting more than anything in order to really change what the trajectory of this team looks like. But yeah, more shooting will help anyone be a reliable catch and shoot guy. And I think this team looks a lot different. Anyone be a pull-up shooting guy, and I'm not stressed at all about this team, but like, I just don't believe that will be the case.
So Pascal, in the 2 months that he had his best points per game averages, also coincided with his best 3-point percentages. So he shot 45% from the left corner, 23% from the right corner, 32% above the break. Most of his shots were obviously assisted, and overall 34% on catch and shoot threes. Is there a world where he's able to get that to 37-38%? I think there is a world that could happen.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, certainly. I think that there's a world that can happen. A lot of these guys are going to be contested looks, right? Like, even if we're talking about the sort of next step that OG can take in taking over for Pascal Siakam, he's not better than Pascal Siakam.
No, not at all.
Even in a bigger role, he can take Mikal Bridges' reps right now. He's not a better player than Pascal Siakam is. So there's still a downgrade there in terms of like who's going to be the one spacing for you. But like, can he get to 37%? I will never be one to put a ceiling on Pascal Siakam, because I think anyone who's ever done that, he's absolutely made look like a fool. I certainly think it's doable. I think it's possible. And I think it changes the look of this team if you have Pascal being a reliable catch and shoot guy, especially because a lot of these are going to be contested shots that he's taking. So if you can, I'm sorry about that. If you can shoot,
it's okay.
If you can shoot reliably, that honestly, excellently on contested catch and shoot looks, then yeah, this Raptors team looks a lot different.
Yeah, man. If Pascal has a reliable 3-point shot, his points per game averages goes up to like 27, 28.
If it's a full like three, simple. I will sign 30. The Supermax for yeah. you. I will force MLSE to give you that money.
Here's my pen.
I just like, that's the thing. If he has that, we're talking about him in the same way we talk about any sort of superstar guy, right? But that's the difference. That's what separates the truly elite from the second, third team all NBA guys, right? So that to me is like the biggest game changer. That's also just, I mean, you're asking someone to turn into a superstar. You're asking someone to turn into an MVP caliber player, which might be too big of an ask. But hey, Pascal, you want that Supermax? You want to be top five in the league? I'm gonna show you how.
Well, he's an MVP content guy. You see that clip yesterday that he circulated?
Soccer player Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, and it's this line of people right in the street.
Telling them to watch them on TV. Honestly, yeah, steer people away from the Raptors, I guess. Is that the plan, Pascal?
Don't call me, apparently. Don't call me and don't watch me. That's what he's saying. Don't call me when I'm working out. That's every day of the week. It's a bar, for one. I'm not sure if anyone saw that, but that was a video we put on his social. So yeah, his content's been great. So I appreciate that. And will he be a Raptor? I don't know. I wish I knew. But a lot makes sense.
So. Fun basketball. I just want people who are good at basketball. Get as many good players as you can.
Honestly. Seriously.
But maybe it's unfair to him to just waste his, what, he'll be 30 by the time the playoffs roll around. We're just going to be wasting that year for him. Maybe that's not fair. But like, selfishly, I just want to watch good players be good.
Last season was like, when was the last time there was a Raptors season that was that disappointing?
2012, 2013.
Yeah. That was the year that,
started 4-19. And a large part of why they were that disappointing that year, that's a year that's just been ingrained in my brain as the most disappointing. I've never been more heartbroken over a team. This year rivaled it. But a large part of the reason for that was the amount of close games that you lost, right? Like, I don't remember. I started 4-19, and first game right out the gate, they lose because George Hill hits a game winner. Automatically, like, what is happening? A couple games later, Al Jefferson, of all people, hit a three.
respect Al Jefferson. That man was underrated, but yes,
not a part of his repertoire because the Raptors refused to foul up two or up three. They refused to foul, so he ties the game and goes into overtime. So, like, there was another one where the scorekeepers waved off an Andrea Bargnani shot at the buzzer. There was another one. Like, it kept happening. I got to run. So, like, and nobody cares about 2012, 2013 Raptors. But it, or is it 2013, 2014? No, 2013, 2014, they were good. It was the year before. It was so many close games. And all of these games lost in the final moments. And if we look at last year, again, a lot of really close games that were lost in the final moments. And that's the sort of difference between being a 48-win team and a 41-win team. I know Will and Saad were just talking about that. That's sort of like the biggest difference between that 48-win team the year before, where they were, I think his stat was 26-19 in the clutch. Yeah. And last year they were 19-26 in the clutch. So it's like, that's the swing. That's your 7-game swing right there. And it's like, yeah, that's the mark. The difference between being a good team and being a bad team, being a 4-5 seed and being in the play-in, it's clutch games. And a lot of these games were not lost in the clutch because the Raptors just, they're not it. They can't do it. It's just like, it's really basic. Like, there's a bunch of like 18 missed free throws is obviously one of them that I guess happened in the play-in, not in the regular season, but we saw the Scottie miss layup. We saw the Gary Trent Jr. miss layup. We saw Kyrie Irving hit threes against us. You just see so many moments where it's like, oh yeah, the Raptors just lost that at the buzzer. But it was a game that they were in the entire time. It's not like a fake comeback. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, All that to say, that was the most disappointing season, and a large part of it was because you were losing winnable games, and you were losing it in new ways every single time. Like, what do you mean Al Jefferson hit a three? What do you mean Greg Popovich yells at a referee and the game absolutely changes for the Spurs in overtime, which was like game five of the season or something, game four. There were so many games that year back to back to back to back that resulted in the Raptors losing in the clutch. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened last year. And it hurts. It sucks. But
that led to a really great
year the next year. Everyone thought they would be bad the following year, and it led to some great things. It did require trading your franchise player in Rudy Gay at the time. But yeah, that's to let the young guys shine through. So maybe that's some foreshadowing there. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what the name of the game here is, that I would really like some role definition with the Toronto Raptors going forward. And that's another reason why I thought Gary Trent Jr. coming off the bench could be beneficial, just because you have connected pieces like Dennis Schroeder and Jakob Poeltl in your lineup. And then you have Pascal and Scotty and OG as your creators, your play finishers, yada, yada, yada. So it just makes more sense. However, the shooting is still a drawback, and we'll just have to see how all that goes. And the bench will be better, which should in turn help the starters in some capacity, right? Right? Play less minutes, 35 versus 38. I don't know.
Certainly play less minutes, yes.
Yes. So there you go. Okay, everyone. Thanks so much. Iman, good times. We'll talk to you all very soon.
Bye, everybody.